It's going to take some time. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. President Biden just said that about the fight against COVID.
I think it's understandable. People being frustrated.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland is live at the White House.
Dave, President Biden is sticking by vaccine mandates as he recommends Americans who qualify get boosters as soon as possible.
I'm moving forward with vaccination requirements wherever I can.
The president said 25% of Americans who have not gotten a shot are causing a lot of damage.
The unvaccinated overcrowd our hospitals, overrunning emergency rooms and intensive care units.
The Labor Department is working on a rule requiring companies with 100 or more employees to ensure their workers are fully vaccinated. President Biden says he'll get his booster shot soon. Dave?
Rachel, the president also talked up Democrats' plans for trillions of dollars in spending still being worked out in Congress.
It is zero price tag on the debt. We're paying. We're going to pay for everything we spend.
With tax hikes on corporations and higher income and wealthier Americans.
I just think it's about just paying your fair share, for Lord's sake.
Now, all Republicans oppose those taxes and the spending for health and child care and climate change fighting and more. Congressman Dan Crenshaw told Fox moments ago.
Look, we could take an hour debunking all the lies that he told on all different subjects, and there was a lot.
Now, he also took issue with the president over the Haitian migrant camp in Del Rio, Texas, that was at 15,000. It's now down to about 3,000. Some Haitians have been deported. Others have been allowed into the U.S. The search for Brian Laundrie is now a week old in a Florida nature reserve. A person of interest in Gabby Petito's death. He's now wanted by the FBI, accused of debit card fraud during his return from a cross-country trip without her. Tonight in Petito's hometown in New York.
At 7 p.m., people in Blue Point are being asked to light candles wherever they are in memory of Gabby Petito. A lot of people are doing that in their driveways.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. America's listening to Fox News.
Are you on Medicare? A new report from the Medicare Board of Trustees says it will run out of money in 2026. Yes, that soon. Now, Stinchfield talks to the insiders and reveals the shocking story of Medicare. You need to protect yourself. Watch Stinchfield's series on Medicare tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Newsmax is on every major cable system and most streaming services. Or download the free Newsmax app on your phone. Medicare is in real trouble. Tune into Stinchfield on Newsmax tonight.
The IRS finally caught up with Louie.
I hadn't paid my taxes in 8 years.
He was in big trouble.
We're going to take your house, garnish your pay.
Louie found out about Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm, and rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau.
IRS anymore. It was because of Optima Tax.
Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Give Optima Tax a call. They can help you.
Call 800-931-4033. 800-931-4033.
Optima Tax Relief.
For details, visit up.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store. Is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard. Industry-leading quality and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners. With nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in this brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
YumaDailyNews.com on News Talk 560 KBLU is brought to you by Half Off Yuma. Get our half off deals right now. Go to KBLUAM.com and click on Yuma Half Off for this week's savings.
Here's the news in 60 seconds, YumaDailyNews.com. Yuma BMX Racing has brought home the gold. Read all about these young athletes and what it takes to be the best at YumaDailyNews.com. Charter schools in Arizona have now added thousands of new students amid COVID-19 closures. More info, YumaDailyNews.com. And a woman has been arrested after she barricaded herself inside a home. Yuma police had to use a sock shotgun to bring the woman to justice. Read the story, YumaDailyNews.com. And finally, Biden tax proposals would cost Arizona thousands of jobs. Arizona State University has reports on the estimates. More info, yumadailynews.com. The town council in Somerton is hosting their annual community awards. Vote for your local favorite businesses on the STC website. You can find more info at yumadailynews.com. Keep sending your news tips to newsroom@yumadailynews.com. We'll take a look.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC. An SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Money. Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group, and Derek Egberg with Academy Mortgage. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
Good, good. Hey, every day is another day, and the news just keeps flowing out. We're going to touch on a couple of things, mainly talking about the Fed came out on Wednesday with kind of some direction on where they think they're going to go, and we're going to talk about that. Also, how that's going to tie into the housing market, which will indirectly tie into your business, which is refinancing the mortgage market. So we're gonna, and then we're gonna tie that into inflation because I think that's the big word on the horizon. So hopefully we'll have a decent discussion. First thing I want to bring up is, as we know, the housing market's been for the last year has been pretty tight, and you know, housing startups are up 17% from the year before. The price of housings have had a great increase in the last year. We saw a small dip in August, and I don't know if it's supply and demand, or maybe you can comment on this, but single-family houses actually went down a little bit in August. I think they declined by about 3%. Do you think that's more supply-demand issue, or more can't get the material to build?
Well, I think that's the same thing. It's very much a supply problem. You can't get the materials to build fast enough. Builders nationwide are behind, and there's just not enough houses to support everybody. I posted this about 2 weeks ago that if you look at a decade long, for the last 50 years in this country, per decade, we've built in excess of 20 million houses. This last decade, how many million houses do you think the U.S. produced?
I would say more, but with COVID and all that, maybe less. I have no idea.
No, about 5 million.
Oh,
so we're down 75% of the normal production over a 10-year run. Now, Has the population stopped reproducing? No. Is our population continuing to go up? Yes. Are the 20 to 25-year-olds still moving out of mom and dad's house because they've gone to college, they've got a career? So we need more housing, and that's the problem, is there is a huge supply problem. The builders can't build it fast enough, and you still can't get lumber and drywall and stuff in time. I mean, no offense, but look at what Costco just put out on the news yesterday. They're already going to start rationing toilet paper and cleaning supplies again, because in this country we've gotten to just-in-time supply chain management where you don't have much coming in except what you need, and when one thing goes sideways...
A couple days short, and then yep. You have nothing on the shelf.
And so if you look even here locally, the drywall and certain things are rationed with how much can be purchased at one time, so everybody gets some, but that's causing delays in homes being constructed.
So like last year, they say single-family startups were up by 5%, but the interesting thing was multi-unit starts were up, guess how much? Big number.
I'm going to guess 20%.
52%.
Good Lord.
So that means that basically they're scrambling to fit more people in by doing duplexes, complexes, apartments, stuff of that nature, right?
Yep. And it's a great move to the mom-and-pop who buys a two-unit or a three-unit. They're living in one side, they're going to rent out one or two doors, turn that into a good income stream. So you're seeing a lot of people talk about, hey, can I buy a duplex? Can I buy a fourplex? Do those even exist?
Yeah. So the interesting thing is housing prices have gone up, you know, pretty good the last year. In August, this is the first time they saw existing home sales were declined by 2%. And the reason why I want to bring that up is I was talking to a realtor out of Phoenix, and she was saying that a lot of these, you know, those houses on the market, and they're starting to basically drop the price down. If they don't sell within a week or two, down, they lower it. and then they'll lower it again. Like, they're pretty anxious to, before, the opposite. Houses were getting bid up. You know, if you have a listing price, they'll get offer more. But now that they're starting to move the prices down, are we seeing any of that around Yuma?
I have not personally seen that at all. What I do see is some people that say, hey, I want to sell my home and I want to go buy X bigger home. But they're not paying attention that if you sell in this market, you're buying in this market, and there's still a spread in going from that three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car garage to the five-bedroom, three-bath, three-car garage. And, again, there's a group of people who have this perception that, hey, I can sell my home for $300,000, and I'm going to go buy that bigger home for $300,000. No. You're
$500,000, right?
It really is. And so you're starting to see some people that may not necessarily sell because they don't want to take that jump up into another neighborhood. That's also creating a supply problem.
So the average median price of an existing home for the month of August was $356,000.
Nationwide or Arizona-wide?
Nationwide.
Okay.
Yeah. So I tell people, you know, money's emotional, right? And if people feel they have money and they have comfort, they go out and spend it. And if they feel threatened or they don't have enough money, then they start getting cheap with their money and not spending it. So if you look at right now, houses are pretty much at an all-time high. So I know people feel good about that. You know, their 401k plans are pretty high, in a high point. So they probably feel good about that. During COVID, the saving rate went up by almost 10, 12% because people weren't, you know, going out to eat and things of that nature. So they should. You know, and also, credit card debt got paid down by about 15% during COVID. I think people had excess money and started paying down their credit cards. Mm-hmm. So with those four things in mind, the American consumer should feel, you know, pretty good, I guess would be the right term, if you looked at how financially set they are. But then there's the flip side of the what's happening on a level even locally, politic-wise, and things of that sort, and also on the global level as far as, you know, what's going on in China, which I want to bring up in a minute. So I don't know. Do you think the American consumer is still feeling pretty optimistic, or do you think there's been a couple dings in the in their?
I think the American consumer is still feeling very optimistic, and at the same time, I think the American consumer has been misguided that interest rates are normal right now. And so I, you know, again, yesterday we saw interest rates tick up. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, I'm starting to see people that say, oh, wow, if the interest rate starts with a 3, it's high.
Hmm.
No, that's still super good historically. But we've taught people, because we've been in this range for quite some time, they think this is normal. And I do believe that when interest rates start with a 4 at some point in the future, you're going to see a whole group of young people that revolt against that kind of an interest rate. You know,
now,
how many
revolt means you don't go buy? Or how do you
I think they're going to have heartburn over those things. And you and I look at it and say, oh my gosh, that's still a great interest rate, because you said it just a second ago, money is not emotional, it's tactical. If you're going to buy a home, are you comfortable with the payment? Does your budget support it? Later on, if you want to turn it into a rental, does it cash flow very well? Even in the fours interest rates, you know, the home purchase price is still good and the rental rates work. But there's a whole group of people who still think if it starts with a 3, that's a high interest rate.
Yeah, I mean, the last 20 years, you know, rates have gone extremely low, and there's going to be a big wake-up call for the next 20 years, I think, for people, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, we've gotten so used to 0% auto, 0% credit cards, interest rates for houses that are in the 2s and 3s. I think people need to pay attention to what the cost of money could be and protect against that.
So we'll take our first break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a long...
To enjoy a longer productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. 8:17 in the morning. Happy Friday. Tom Rush, Derek Egeberg, and Russ Clark all in studio. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
So, lots to talk about, and I mean, there always is. I don't know if we'll ever make sense of it, but let's have a little fun.
So the Fed came out on Wednesday, and that was kind of a point that everyone was kind of listening to see what they wanted to do. But they basically came out and said, is that going to start? Right now, the Fed's been buying back treasuries, and for the first time in the history, they started buying back corporate bonds, which they haven't been doing, but they started that, you know, right, during COVID. But they're going to start tapering, which means they're going to stop buying back those bonds, and they think it's going to last sometime maybe middle of 2022. Is when they plan on maybe not buying back almost any bonds, so tapering off for like 6 months. But then at that point, I think you're going to start seeing the Fed starts raising rates. So they're kind of waiting to raise rates until the tapering stops. So they're expecting maybe April, May, June of 2022. But then once rates start, you know, they start increasing the rates, what would that mean for you guys?
Well, let's slow down and talk about how this. Does the average consumer understand what that is, what the Fed buying bonds does, and what the tapering means? So let's boil this down to you and I as a consumer. Let's say Russ has a 65 Fastback Mustang, and I have a 65 Fastback Mustang. So there's two of them, and Tom, you're the only guy in the world that wants to buy one. How likely are both Russ and I going to, you know, profit really well on those cars? Not very likely at all. Because one of us is going to get a big fat zero, and one of us is going to get lowballed, right? Okay. Now, conversely, let's say your rich uncle right? There's only one Mustang in the world, and your rich uncle wants it, but you want it, and Russ wants it. So there's three of you, but your rich uncle has an unlimited checkbook, and I have the only Mustang in the world. What's the likelihood I'm going to get way more for that car now?
Higher, yep.
Very probable. And so that's what's happened.
Especially if we bluff them out and act like we're going to write a big check.
Yeah, I know. So here's what's been happening for us on the mortgage side and the corporate bond side is our rich uncle with the unlimited checkbook called the Fed has literally been buying all of the paper, both residential mortgage bonds and commercial paper. So Wall Street is competing with the Fed to buy those bonds. What does that do to the price? Drives the price up, which drives the interest rates down. That's how the Fed has driven rates down. Now, the Fed talked about tapering on Wednesday. What did the residential bond market do on Thursday? Had what I call a taper tantrum. Uh-huh.
That's a
new
word.
That?
Yeah.
So we lost 70 basis points in price yesterday.
70?
70 basis points yesterday.
Which is more than a half a percent for the listeners.
Right. Yeah. So what that means to you and I as a consumer seeing an interest rate that's between an eighth of a point and a quarter point in true rate on most loan products. Now, did you see that in the news anywhere? No, because they're only worried about the tapering. So the Fed has told you and I they're going to stop buying all of those nice, shiny Ford Fastback Mustangs so you and I as collectors can now start acquiring them at a better price.
So it goes back to like supply and demand. So if the government steps out of buying those bonds, and the government and corporate, then basically prices are going to go down. The price of a bond goes down, yields go up on a bond,
yep.
Which would basically go back to what you're saying. So you think long-term rates are probably heading up too?
I mean, long-term, the Fed just told you that interest rates are going to go up without saying they're going to go up. They called it tapering, but all that means is they're out of the market, they're going to stop buying, which means interest rates will start going up for all bonds, which will translate into a direct interest rate increase on all mortgages over the next 6 to 12 months.
So for listeners out there, I guess the motive of the story is if you're thinking of buying or refinancing, do it sooner than later.
We've been talking about this for quite some time, is this was the opportunity, the Great American Debt Restructure, whether it's houses, cars, credit cards, realign your debt. Yeah, the Fed just told you you've got 6 to 9 months before you're going to see interest rates rise. They just won't say it like that. You have to be smart enough to understand what the tapering is. And I unfortunately think that's part of the setup. They're teleprompting the people that know how to read the teleprompter what they're going to do, but the average consumer doesn't understand that that tapering means they're phrasing it like it's a good thing, like the economy is so good, they're going to stop the tapering.
Stronger, yeah.
But it means that the average consumer is going to pay a higher interest on their debt.
So the big word in the future, and everyone's kind of talked about in the financial world, is inflation, the big I word. Just for the listeners, the definition of inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods. And if you think about it, the government's been pumping in a lot of money into our system through COVID, and I got some stats on that. The money supply that is in the communities exchanging has gone up by 33% from February of last year. That means that basically there's 33% more money floating around in the community that people have. So when there's more money in the community, what does that cause you to do? It causes you to bid up the Mustang, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you feel you got more money, you can pay higher prices. Too few goods, as everyone knows, there's a big supply issue on a lot of fronts. The computer chips, construction, even like you said, if they are missing products in the big stores, as you said, toilet paper and
toilet paper is the big one that you and I as consumers see. But it's interesting that you look at a lot of the home builders that they've promised or bid in stainless steel appliances. Do you know a lot of the builders can't even get stainless steel appliances because the stainless steel is not available? So, and the chips in the actual dishwasher and things like that. So you look at a lot of the high-end appliances you can't even get because of supply problems.
And a lot of the supply problem is coming from a lot of cargo ships out at sea from China. So it's a big bottleneck that's happening. I think a couple months ago they shut down the third largest port in China because of COVID, I guess. So there's supply issues. Now, I have a friend who's building a house right now, and his builder won't even tell him what the price is.
Yep.
Until they, you know, I think they say today it's X, but that's only going to last for like a week. And then, you know, if the prices go up in material. So he's going in this thing kind of blindly, but that's the only way the builder can protect themselves.
That's become
he's a small builder.
But that's become very common with some of the small to medium builders nationwide, is you have the gentleman's agreement that you're going under contract, but you're not coming up with a final number because they don't know, you know, if you're going to do a 12-month build, when do you need the lumber? 3 to 4 months in? When do you need the copper wiring for your electrical? 6 months in? They don't even know what the resources are going to cost when they go to buy them in yet. They don't even know if they can get them.
Delivered, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So the Fed, beginning of the year, thought that the CPI number, Consumer Price Index, would be at about 2%. And basically, for the month of August, it's at 3.3. So they basically, it's about, give or take, 50% higher than they anticipated. And then from last year, the Consumer Price Index is up, it's 5% higher. So the last time we've seen the Consumer Price Index go up more than 5% was in the early 90s. So it's been a while, 30 years.
Now, you were talking about something, though. Where is rent calculated into that?
Yeah, so the interesting thing when I was reading this is the Consumer Price Index is basically what consumers, the prices of goods going up with what consumers buy, necessity items, and rent is 30% of that number, the Consumer Price Index. So if there's a supply and demand kind of bottleneck on housing, which you just said they built 75% less this year than the year before.
Over the last decade.
The last decade. So you're gonna, you know, it's safe to say probably rent's going up.
We're going to have a supply problem in housing for the next 4 to 5 years. We just can't build them fast enough. So rents have gone up considerably over the last year and a half, and there's still waiting lists for people to get into homes. If I, you know, I talked to the three main property managers here in town. They're waiting for houses to come up. They have lists of 30, 40 people deep waiting for houses.
Yeah, so, if, you know, rents go up. I mean, 30% of the Consumer Price Index is just rent alone. But the other side of that is gas, and that's up 40% from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the food products are up between, you know, 20 and 50%, depending on what you're trying to buy.
You think that should make a difference to families?
Heck yeah.
Big. Those are
so
huge.
You know, people worry about taxes, and you always hear, well, they're going to increase taxes. I'm going to get less money if you're paying taxes. But the quickest way to rob people out of their money is inflation.
Yeah.
Because that happens almost instantly, daily, weekly, hourly. And they, you know, Americans will go and buy. I mean, they're known for, you know, spending money, but they have to have disposable income. And if they spend their money on the necessities, food, gas, you know, car, house, rent, whatever, and they don't have much left over, that's when we can hit a recession. So, you know, people haven't heard the recession word in a while, and I'm not saying it's around the corner, but we start having some big inflation that sucks money out of people's pockets. That can be, you know, could put us there quicker. But the definition of a recession is you have to have two quarters of a negative GDP. So here's an interesting fact. The S&P from 1949 till now, in the 1990s, the market went up 118 months before it hit a recession. And as of right now, we're up 119 months before we hit a recession. Now, the COVID thing, even though the market dropped 50% or so, that wasn't a recession because we didn't have negative GDP quarters. It was more of just kind of a scare kind of thing. So we're actually had a longer bull market than we have in the 90s by 1 month. So that, you know, tells me that this thing stretched out pretty far. And then if you look at the recessions, I talked about this when we got off break here pretty quick, but when you go into recession with inflation, it also stretches out how long the recession lasts. So I have some stats on that. And we'll talk about it when we get right back. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
To enjoy a longer productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Derek Eggeberg. We're just talking about what's happening in this world with housing, inflation, what the Fed's doing. So if you look at when there is a recession and there's inflation, it stretches out the duration of the recession. If you look at what happened in the 1974-75, that's when they had the heavy inflation, high gas prices. The average recession lasted almost 2 years. Historically, recessions usually last about 10, 11 months, so it was twice the time frame. So we haven't had a really long-term recession in the sense where it lasted a year and a half or so. So if there is going to be a pullback and it's caused by inflation, but you might have to wait a little longer before we come out of it. So something to think about. Everyone thinks, you know, the market's going to blip down and then 6 months later, it's blipped right up like it's been doing, it, and that doesn't always hold true.
But isn't that what we've kind of taught everybody now? I mean, it's this instantaneous, let's watch it on the news, oh, there's a little bad news, there's a little good news, and we've stopped people from even studying economics and trying to figure out why this works, and the average consumer doesn't understand what inflation is or what a debt ceiling is and how this actually translates into their pocketbook. And I think we've made it hard to understand. Am I wrong in that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, what's being taught in the schools. But I think the typical person, if you start talking economics, they don't get it.
So if I may, permit me for a second. So when we talk about things like debt ceilings and tax revenues, So right now, depending on which figures you use, because sometimes they add in some of the things that were tax breaks and not, U.S. tax revenues, approximately $2,170,000,000,000. Okay? Now, does the average consumer understand how many zeros that is? Federal budget, $3,820,000,000,000. New debt this last cycle, $1,650,000,000,000. Okay?
So that means that, basically taxes are bringing in about $2.1 trillion a year?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So here's, let's boil this down to a consumer. Let's take eight zeros off of those, okay? That's a lot of zeros, by the way. That's translating to annual family income. So per household annually, let's call that a annual family income of $21,700. Reasonable number to talk about.
Okay.
Money the family spent this year, though, $38,200. That's what our federal government is doing. It's spending $38,000 when they only have $21,000 coming in.
So double, almost double the money.
Double. Now, let's talk about the new debt that that family would have put on credit cards based on that example, $16,500. So you put $16,000 more on credit card, and based on the national debt, do you know what that would translate if you took out eight zeros? That would translate to $142,000 of credit card debt to the family that only has $21,000 worth of income annually. You're never digging out of that. Ever. Now, let's talk about that in a different way. We all see it in the news media. We're talking about it right now. No, what if there's...
If the family could just print a little bit of money like the government, they could get out.
Well, let's talk about tax cuts. So budget cuts, the budget cuts, do you know what, if you translate it out eight zeros, what the family cut out of their budget this year? $38.50. That's nothing, but that's what, you know, the politicians are talking about. Oh, look, we cut the budget. No, we didn't cut anything. You cut out a few dollars when you've got $148,000 in credit card debt. Now, here's the way I want to analogize this, though. We're talking about raising the debt ceiling. Doesn't that mean you're just going to go get more credit cards and put more on debt? I'm sorry, but Tom, you were talking about potentially things like a water treatment facility off air, right? So let's pretend you came home and your entire neighborhood, the waste facility wasn't working. And you came home and your house was filled to the ceiling with poop. Okay?
Yeah, I'm now, visualizing it, I got it.
I want you to visualize this. Now, you have two choices. We can start cleaning the poop out of your house, or we can raise the ceiling so we can stack more poop in there. Which would you like to do?
Good analogy.
Do you want to call your wife first? Or?
I think she would love that. But isn't it interesting? That's what we're talking about doing. Hey, let's argue about raising the debt ceiling so we can stack more poop in versus let's rearrange some of the programs that we may or may not need and start actually cleaning up our financial household.
In the last 30 years, the debt ceiling has been raised like 76 times. So it's kind of been part of just built into our culture now, you know. I mean, imagine if your credit card maxes out and you're like, you know, I know I can't pay it. So you call up the company, hey, can you increase it by $5,000 and then, you know, a couple more months, hey, can you increase it?
Yeah, increase it and get me another couple of credit cards because that sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? But again, that's that we haven't really taught economics and financial wherewithal to a lot of people. And everybody in the average TV watching, in my guess, thinks that raising the debt ceiling, like you said, is normal. How is that normal to stack more debt that at some point we're going to have to clean that house? At some point we have to dig that out, whether it's amazing GDP increases, whether it's new taxes, whether it's cutting programs, somehow we got to dig out of that debt.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a whole theory, but the interesting thing is if things get so chaotic and off track, then who's going to step in and facilitate? Government, right? So it also can be a spread for more outreach by the government, which we've seen. So it's a kind of a deadly cycle, you know?
It is an interesting one that is going to play out very quickly. You know, what's your gut, gentlemen? Just hypothetically, do you think they're raising the debt ceiling over the next few days, or are we having a government shutdown?
I don't think they have a choice long term. I mean, they might shut it down for 10 days or 15 days or whatever, but, you know, I think it's going to pass. I think there's enough, my feeling is there's enough people on the
The Republicans have, right now, the Senate anyway, has said no. And
you watch how many buckle, though.
But the whole deal is a $3.5 million bill. They think that's just too much. So they may raise it, but they may not raise enough for that bill.
Yeah. Yep. And that's what, the end of October they have to have it raised by, or end of September?
It's coming up. I think it's September 30th, maybe.
So you think the markets would show more. They got beat up for a couple of weeks, but the last three, 4 days, markets have gotten pretty high. So you would think the markets would know ahead of time if it's going to be raised or not, you know, the debt ceiling. Because if it wouldn't, I think the markets would tell down before the announcement. But it hasn't happened. So I don't. My guess tells me it's probably going to, debt ceiling is going to go up.
Well, I think you're right, unfortunately, and I think we're going to keep stacking that credit card debt. And when you talk about the markets, you know, when Alan Greenspan used to say irrational exuberance, you know, I think everybody has gotten so used to seeing the market going up and making money and looking at their financial statements that it is interesting. I see people coming into my office talking about, oh, look, my 401k is up 35% this year. That's not normal. That's great. I'm happy for you. But that's not normal any more than seeing an interest rate that starts with a 2 is normal. So, you know, I think we've kind of set people up that interest rates are normal when they're this low, and profit margins of 20% and more annually is normal, which it's not. It'll be interesting to see when those two things start to correct how the average person responds.
So last night, my kid had a football game, JV football, YC, Yuma Catholic, up in Santan, but you had to drive farther out, maybe towards Coolidge, kind of. Amazing. I mean, that's a city out there that I haven't been out there in a long time. But, I mean, that stuff's all going to be connected from Phoenix to Coolidge to Florence. I mean, it's all being built out. Makes you wonder why our rivers are...
makes you wonder where they're getting the water from, doesn't it?
Yeah. that's blown away.
I mean, and there's going to be a whole other argument and fight at some point in the future. You know, that's got to get changed, or... I don't want to say rationed, because that's not the right word, but it is interesting watching people move from one area of the country to another, and you're starting to see again when California and New York lose congressional seats, that tells you the population is shifting. Why is Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, some states in the Midwest continuing to gain population? I think there's lots of political reasons and lots of economic reasons. But, you know, the growth here in Arizona, what you just talked about, is what people aren't really looking at. As you said, the national stat of home purchases and being built. What's going on in Arizona? What's going on in a community like Yuma? It really is population shifting from one area to another. And we're not talking about that regionalized housing. We're still talking about national stats.
So, I mean, I know on the stat level, they said the houses had gone up about 17% in the last year. You're probably more connected to this than I am, but how about in Yuma? Do you think that's a higher number?
I think it's a higher number. I think the last one I saw was the average home is selling for about 19.5% more than it was. And again, you look at, anecdotally, you can drive in a neighborhood and talk to your buddy who's lived there 3 or 4 years and then see one that's being listed on the market. I mean, the prices are hugely up in most of the neighborhoods. And again, you said it, it's a supply side problem. There just is not enough housing for the people that demand it, and it's A, local Yuma residents, B, it's the younger generation moving out of mom and dad's house or coming back from college.
You don't realize that, but that younger generation is the highest populated people in the United States. I mean, it's a huge number. Age 18 to 35. That's the biggest population in the United States.
Yeah, we used to talk about what the baby boomers did and how that, if you watch that football shoving through the garden hose, you could kind of get ahead of it economically. There's a whole other one coming down that garden hose right now.
Yep, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. The good news about that younger generation is they do save a lot, and the savers, they don't like to take risk. I think they saw the parents...
Yeah.
Lose their jobs or maybe get their house repossessed in 08 or that, but they are savers, so that's a plus. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Money Talk, 560 AM.
To enjoy a longer productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Hey, Yuma, Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU, 847 on a overcast and cloudy. I think the rain is gone Friday morning. Got a couple of good things to talk about, though. Let's talk about something that the community is going to have going on this weekend for a brief moment. So this weekend, Tacos and Tunes out at the Civic Center, Desert Sun Stadium. There's food and a concert tonight. Gates open at 3 o'clock. And then all day tomorrow, gates open.
There'll be some adult beverages there?
Plenty of adult beverages, plenty. Yeah, look at Russ. Russ is
game
now.
That was for adults.
So food, drinks, great concert tonight. Come on out all day tomorrow. Again, great food, taco contests. I know, Russ, you're going to be out there doing some
judging. I'm all judgy.
You are very judgy. We've known that for a long time. And then a great concert. Michael Ray is the headliner tomorrow night.
You can buy tickets at the door.
You can buy tickets at the gate. So, you know, come on out. It's going to be a great time. Finally getting back to a little bit more normalcy that I think, you know, let's be safe and let's be cautious. But at the same time, you know, let's get back to supporting one another and doing some stuff in the community. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
Now, I heard tonight, is that the Mariachi Band?
Yes.
So, I mean, I've heard about it from like 6-7 people, but this... If you haven't heard of a mariachi band that does, I think, some heavy metal in between,
yeah,
or part of it, they said it's pretty amazing.
I'm told this is a big deal, and I don't know a whole lot about them,
yeah,
but same thing. There's about half the people in my office that know exactly who they are. A couple of them said they have some of their albums, and they're really looking forward to it. So it should be 2 days of really good music and just some good fun. So, you know, Desert Sun Stadium, come on out. Great concerts both nights. Great food, as you said, adult beverages, and, you know, let's enjoy the weather. Thankfully, it just turned. It's going to be a little bit cooler than we were
I
assuming.
I like that,
yeah. So
it's a family event.
It is. The last few years, lots of families, lots of kids. You know, again, great food,
get out, enjoy the weather, and just something to do.
Really hadn't planned on today too much, but, you know, it's sounding pretty intriguing now.
Well, it's going to be a great concert tonight, too. So it's 2 days worth of fun stuff. Today, again, gates are going to open at 3, so there's nothing to do during the day. Gates open at 3. Come on out and enjoy some great food and enjoy a great concert. And then all day tomorrow, same thing.
I may sneak my granddaughter out of school early.
Uh-oh.
You know, I could do that.
You could. Well, the gates...
They left my name on the list to pull her out.
And then she'll be leading you all over the place, and then you won't be able to judge because she'll be the controlling person.
She is that.
It's weird how that works.
At 4 years old.
So you guys took it over. The event started with the city, I believe, right?
It did.
And then you guys have taken it over for the last couple of years, or do you know?
No, this will be the first year that the Caballeros de Yuma have taken it over. So.
Yeah. So it was good when they handed it to them. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the chairman's doing a great job. I mean, it's very well organized. The entertainment, thrilled, didn't like being off for a year with COVID, but it's funny how some of the entertainment things change. So the contract with Michael Ray was actually signed more than a year ago. Uh-huh. That was as he was moving up the charts. And you know, you look at how some of these concert producers do this. They sign acts far enough ahead. So, you know, Yuma, Arizona, getting Michael Ray, you know, big deal
the
here.
The contract today is worth a lot more than it was.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
And kudos to him. You know, COVID shut everything down, and he and his group honored that contract. So, you know, hats off to Michael Ray and his group for honoring a contract that they did as they were moving up the chart. But I'm very, very excited to have that coming here to Yuma. I think that'll be a great show.
Sure. I know the city used to have... I believe, like, tequila flavors of drinking. Is that on the...
That is above my pay grade. You will have to come through the gate
like
to check
tequila,
that.
So asking for him.
I'm a judge, so I'll be testing flavors.
So I will ask both of you after the event is over how that worked. I do know.
Actually, I'm going to be watching. You know, the judges will actually be the Miss Yuma County contestants. I'm just a chaperone, so...
Are they going to do some type of an event there, or just besides walking around? Or
no, they're basically going to be greeters and things, you know, but basically they're going to be doing the judging, and, you know, the judges are always favored. Everyone talks nice to the judges.
Yeah. Food judging, okay.
Yeah, but it's good to get them out to work in the crowds to say hello.
Sure.
And that'll be part of what I help them with.
And this just in, lots of ice-cold beverages, but unfortunately no tequilas.
Okay.
So... So
something to build on.
So, Russ, you can taste all of the tacos and judge them over many cold adult beverages. How about that?
There you go.
So, you know, other than that, I think it's going to be a great weekend. And I hope as we talk about a lot of these economic things, and whether you say the word inflation, you say the word tapering, you say the word recession, you say the word debt ceiling, you know, we all still need to support each other as a community. And what I really much appreciate about Yuma is you still have the support of the local businesses. You still have the support of the relationships and the friends. And I think that's probably the thing I missed the most during COVID. And let's be honest, we still have a pandemic going on, so it's not like that's gone away. But we very much still supported the local restaurateur, the local businesses. And I think tonight and this weekend is one of those things to show that the taco vendors that are out there, these are local vendors. It's not just mysteriously tacos showed up. These are local businesses that are willing to come out and support an event.
I mean, what did the president say? Nothing to fear but fear itself. I mean, I think you weren't on the last show, but we had some stats. And they said, like, a person dying of a dog bite was like 1 in 86,000. And I think a person dying of COVID was like 137,000, 1 in 137,000. Bee sting was like a 1 in 80,000. So there's a lot of risk out in the world. I mean, don't get me wrong, but if you look at the perspective and all, there's other ways you can get checked out of this world besides COVID with higher numbers.
And unfortunately, a lot of that is the marketing and who wants to put the data out there.
Sure.
So, you know, again, let's get back to... This weekend, there's an amazing opportunity to go out with your family, be safe, have a little fun, support the community, And, you know, let's get back to doing things that are, you know, would you want to come out there with your family?
Sure.
Yes. Let's get out there and do something that's a little bit fun.
You bring a chair and blanket?
Yes, absolutely.
And listen to band?
Yep. The stage is already set center field of the main field. So, you know, again, you can sit out in the grassy area all the way around. Bring your blankets, bring your chairs. There's
a lot of car clubs in town that are kind of like lowrider car clubs. I assume you might have some of those out there.
Good question. Nothing on the field. But, you know, I think you're going to have a great turnout at the event. Seen a lot of talk about it online, social media.
Yuma people want to get out. It's going to be a great event.
I think so. So, beyond that, what's new, gentlemen? Anything else that we need to talk about with 5 minutes left? It's amazing how fast an hour goes.
Well, we'll have more news on it in the future, but I think Russ talked about it on break, but I think it's worth listening about the rules
changes
that are coming out with the, you know, new banking rules.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll get someone from one of the local banks who understands it all to talk about it.
And that'd be ideal. You know, they're going through it real quick and absorbing it and trying to figure out what they're going to do because the expenses are going to go way up on the
banks. They want to track anything spent more than $600.
Right.
So there's more tracking, which means there's more red tape and
that's
more cost.
That's going to be on the bank to do that.
And more, of course, Big Brother.
That's going to be passed on to everyone that has a checking account, everybody that does services. And I talked to my financial advisor this morning, Edward, you know, and he assures me that it's going to really hammer people that have banking accounts, you know, where they're used to free banking. That's gone.
Yeah.
And they're going to put minimums of, you know, minimum balances are going to raise as far as getting free for raising, and there's going to be service charges, but a lot of things that were done for free were supported federally. Now all those supports are being gone. So banks are going to have to be on their own, which they're just going to pass that in. They're going to pass that on.
So I think if that passes, we'll get someone locally who understands more about that to come on and talk about
it. Yeah, and you know they're going to be scrambling saying, God, how are we going to handle this? What are our fees going to be? And I doubt if any of them have got those answers just yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just know it's going to be more.
And hate to say, who's it going to affect more is probably the person who doesn't have as much money in the account.
Yeah, the guy that's living paycheck to paycheck.
The small guy,
who can't maintain a balance high enough for the free checking. And unfortunately, nobody talks about that great idea to try to have the IRS raise revenue is really going to cost the low-income consumer much more money.
Right. So. And, you know, I got thrown out, you know, probably like $5,000 or something for minimum balances. And, again, for a lot of people, that's just unachievable. They don't have that.
And not only that, but what a lot of people don't realize is once these things get put in place, 10 times harder to remove.
Well, it used to be like this in the 70s or 80s or so. You know, apparently these fees were out there and checking balances were very hard to get. They put in all these programs to make it more accessible. And then we forgot why we put them in. And now they're going to become inaccessible again.
Yeah. You know. That'll probably cause more people to not keep money in the bank, which isn't a good thing either.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's going to change
under
everything.
The mattress, yeah.
And we'll have to see what the changes are, but people need to adjust accordingly.
Yep.
Adjust your lives, because there's going to be some big changes.
Hey, this just in. We're also supposed to say thank you to at least three of the sponsors for this weekend's event. So Cocopa Casino, which is the main sponsor, Harvest Prep and Modelo, those are three of the main sponsors. Again, it's wonderful to see groups starting to support community events again. So,
everybody go out and visit it, have fun, be safe, and enjoy Yuma.
Enjoy, and remember, we can't do these things in the community without our military men and women who still protect us, still put their lives on the line. Whatever you think, just understand whether it's, you know, tacos and tunes, whether it's talking on the radio, whether it's going out to the river with your family. There are men and women who are not home with their families, so all of our hats off to them. And if you ever need anything, call Tom, call Russ, call myself, and we'll do what we can to help you out. Stay safe, everyone. Have a great weekend. Bye for now.
The
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.